asking about who wants to know more about environment and other.
Hello, my name is René Oli. I'm from company Astron, who are producer here in Liège of industrial buildings made of steel and also demountable parking structures. I think I will have the chance to say more about that. And my job is innovation manager at Astron.
Hello again. So my name is Carlo Knell. For those who didn't notice this morning, I'm a PE teacher at this school, but I was actually invited from my more private side. Actually, we have the highest green house number. So that's the number of the house which was given to our house because it's very sustainable. And on the other side, I was able since 2015 to produce my own snowboard and surfing wear.
Right. That work? Okay. So circular economy, it's a topic which has interested you all week long, and we could perhaps start with the students telling us what worries them and why this interest in circular economy. Have you found many examples of the practice of circular economy here in Luxembourg? So could I just ask any of the students to talk about this? Yes? Shall I? We have one here. Okay, all right.
You talked about our week this far, and we had many examples here. We were to the Dreckskirch, learned about the waste we are producing, especially in Luxembourg, and how it's recycled and upcycled, especially. Then we had some workshops where we did some upcycling ourselves, like for example, making some shorts or some bags, and it was quite interesting, I think, for us all. And that got us thinking about how much waste we produce and what circular economy can really do, not only for the environment, but for our whole lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shall we just pass on the mic to somebody else? What is circular economy for any of you? I mean, you talked about waste. So what else is circular economy?
So circular economy is an alternative way for us to make the environment better. It's about upcycling and reusing. And it's an idea about, like, no-waste lifestyle or something like that, probably.
Do you think that's possible? No waste, zero waste? Have you made the experience this week that it is possible?
I think it might be possible, but we're quite spoiled these days, I'd say. So we would have to get rid of the comfort level of life, and we would have to learn a new lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. There's somebody who would
speak. I also think that it's possible, but we should go step by step, because I know I made a presentation about no waste, and I looked how much waste I made in this presentation, in this time I made the presentation, and I know about a family which makes about a jar. This is the only waste this family makes in a year, and I make more, far more than this jar in just like 2 hours.
All right, yes. I'm thinking also about the producers. I mean, we have two people here, one from Astron, and I was wondering about the waste you produce on construction sites, for example. How do you make sure that, you produce less or zero waste? Do you?
There are a few ways to achieve that. We are lucky that we are in the steel. Our material is steel. Steel is perfectly upcyclable. But nevertheless, the main advantage for me of circular economy is the reusage. And to answer your question first, we pre-produce everything to size and prepared so that on job site, in theory, you have zero waste. With the exception of a little packaging transport material like woods or protection materials. Today, those are not returned to us, but that could be thought about. Then going further, if we think about steel parts which can be reused, I was able to demonstrate that for car parking, for example, a structure, steel structure, you must imagine columns, beams, concrete slabs. If you reuse them three times, this can help to save CO2 in a quantity which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I had made it for an example of 450 places, a parking structure with 450 places, and the saving on three life cycles was over 1,000 tons of CO2. Does somebody have an idea what means 1,000 tons of CO2?
No.
Any idea? It represents 0.1% of the Dutch target for 2030. And so 1,000 of those buildings would make it. All the Netherlands would reach their climate target. That, so you get a feeling of how much it is.
Okay. Malu Omise from Superdrechtisch, what do you see when you are at your site? Do you think there's still too much waste which can't really be disposed of? I mean, which doesn't go back to the soil as it should be, really, in circular economy?
Of course, you can always make better. And it's always at the beginning where you have to look at. That's what we want to inform people to say, when you go to the supermarket, just make an idea what you really need, or also in firms, how can you produce to make at the beginning as less waste as possible, and not see at the end how you can recycle it. Even if you can do it, it's better not to have these products to recycle. So it's you just told it. I think the first thing is really to think about what you're doing and to see to find a better way. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to do, to inform and to sensibilize people in this way.
It's good to make customers aware, but I'm also thinking of the producers, and perhaps the producers need to have stronger incentives from the government, for example. So, Monsieur Thomas, what could you see that the government could perhaps do more to take the producers and ask them to do their responsibility for the damage or for the cost they provoke without knowing, perhaps, but the environmental costs, for example? How can you encourage producers to be more responsible?
I think before going to that, it's an issue of awareness. We have one planet, we will be 10 billion, and probably we will be more than 10 billion. So you extrapolate the waste and the consumption of resources and the CO2, which, if we take an average between the six countries where you are from, then you need three or four planets. Cloning is for sheep, but it's difficult to clone planets. And so we need to completely change our way. If we have today a linear economy, we are producing something and then often we throw it away. And that will really go against the wall. It will produce too much CO2. But it will also exhaust resources, and it will generate pollution. So, to give you one concrete example, 20% plus of all waste is waste from the building industry. And when you think about what happens, let's do a little quiz. What happens to a house when it is end of life? Yes. Yeah, or demolition. Mm-hmm. So my plea is that before you get my age and even much earlier, that from the diction, from the wording, so that the word destroy or demolition has to disappear from the dictionary. What is such a dictionaries. And we have to replace it by deconstruction. And we have one. There is one building in a Dutch city, which has now been built up with the idea that in 30, 40, 50 years, this building can be deconstructed in order to recuperate, to get back the steel which is in, the wood which is in, aluminium, copper, and so on and so on. So, and this is, can you imagine what kind of gigantic step or jump forward this is, that even before you build a building, you need to think about it. That's a bit, I think, what they do at Mr. Oli's companies, that you there is in a building today we do a lot of composite materials, or we fix things. You cannot fix things. You need to replace this by screwing things, because afterwards you cannot deconstruct them. So it's a completely new concept. So we will need to introduce laws where we create a framework for that. Mm-hmm. And maybe one other example, plastics. You have seen these horrible videos of the whole continents now in the oceans with plastic. And then I have a question. What is better, a plastic bottle or a glass bottle? Yes, you can do a whole life cycle analysis. But before we go to that, best is you is tap water. So I think we are so damned used everywhere we come. We have plastic bottles, or when it's a more sophisticated dinner or restaurants, and you have glass bottles. But isn't it completely insane in a certain way? We have... The drink is a tap water we have in Europe, which is very severely regulated. You can drink it. And that's a challenge. So, Marcel, for when next time I come back, you will have to install a little drinking wells. So I think it is you can... So the first reaction would be, oh, let's fine-tune a bit. So is it glass, is it plastic? But I think in order to get really to circular economy, you need to jump into first to think, do I need at all to have a, or do I, and I go to a tap? And then the other thing, and that's my last, plastics. What we do today on plastics is, I would not even call it recycling. It is downcycling, or we then burn it, so which basically destroys also the resource. Why? Why is it not possible, even if we collect each and every piece of plastic, why is it so damn difficult to do an upcycling or even a recycling? Why is that so? Yes? Yeah. We have too many different substances, chemicals, which go into plastics. And if you have chemicals which are not compatible each with each other, if you bring them together and you melt them, you don't get out anything of really use. It is a product which has a lesser value. So the big challenge, and that's, I have been in the European Parliament for 20 years doing European legislation. The first thing, if we are really serious about plastic, is that we have to forbid a lot of substances, chemicals, which go into plastics. And we are, and the concept behind this, a bit of cradle-to-cradle concept of to establish positive lists of substances which you want in a product. The other example is carpets. You can recycle carpets or linoleum, but if you do it a second or third time, you will get you risk to have indoor pollution because the chemicals, the solvents which are in the carpet are more and more concentrated, and then you create a health problem. So one of the really important things to understand is having a circular economy is only possible if what enters into the circle is well designed or is clean. And that is the notion of what we call positive lists of substances which go into a product. And that's something else where at European level we are now working on with governments and also with the European Commission.
The students have prepared questions, I've heard, so we let them. Yes.
Working on circular economy this week, we came across the word sharing a lot and the principle of sharing economy. I wanted to ask if you really think that the sharing is a great idea to move towards the no waste, and how you can put it in place in a society where we feel like what we own is what we are, and when we can't really dissociate our ownership from what we own anymore. And do you really think that it's something we can do in our society, how it is at the moment?
We at in Wils, we are sharing economy is part of our project in Wils. So, for example, for the new area of Wunnematter-Wolz, where we would like to build around 750 new buildings for around 2,000 people who should come in the next 10, 15 years to Wils, sharing economy is a part of it. So sharing economy is a way to get people closer together. We have planned to have repair cafes there, to second-hand shops, car sharing, bike sharing, all these things are part of the approach in Wils. We have the same in the zoning Salzbach. Maybe sometimes you think that industry is not regarding sharing economy or even circular economy. In Wils, we have a group of 12 companies, international companies, small companies, who are working together in a circular economy way. They would like to go further in the approach, and one of the part is sharing. Just a very easy example. They had at one time last year decided to purchase together electrical energy. First of all, it's with green energy, and the second step of that is that the small company with 5 people got the same price as the big company with 200 or 300 or 400 employees, and so there they have both. We have the environment has a gain because it was green energy, and there's even an economical gain because it was a better price for the whole partners who were in it. And so we believe that sharing economy is part of it and can even have a positive impact in Wils on that. I would like to add something to the discussion before, because I think we were right at the right subject. So our actual economical system, produce, use, and dispose, is really the bad way, what I mentioned before. And what is really important to understand, and that's how we understand it in Wils, you should, right at the beginning, at the design of the product, it is very important to design the product in the way that you can repair it, reuse it, make it fit for a second life, a third life, and all this is very important to limit the use of our resources. So that is really one of the main points is the design, and that's how we see it in Wils. We should, right at the beginning of the design of a product, discuss about that. And you know maybe also that Mr. Thomas mentioned cradle to cradle. There is even a cradle to cradle certification, and there are even companies here in Luxembourg who have products certificated with this cradle to cradle system. So it is working, and people are working on it and improving on that.
So I think sharing is the design of products, and then I think the second notion is sharing or leasing. And in business, you have already a lot of companies who basically don't even own their own buildings. They are leasing a lot of things. And on sharing, I think the one area where we really need to advance is sharing of bicycles or cars. I sold my car in 95. I rarely need a car, but when I need a car, today it's very easy to go to a service. So we have, for example, the Luxembourg railway station. Railway company has now 60 cars, which you can then rent for 2 hours or 3 hours. So this kind, and it's complete nonsense to own a car if you live in a city, because you call it an automobile, but in reality it's a standstill, because on average a car is standing 97% of the time. 97% of the time you have something which is produced with a lot of metals and glass and chemicals, and it's standing. It's only used 3% of the time. So it shows you how, and this is about ecology, but it's also about efficiency. Why should you? It's also an economic or an efficient nonsense to produce things which are only used 3% of the time. And the good thing about internet is that, imagine you would have to, all of you would have 10 cars in the age where internet didn't exist. So you ring somebody, can I have the car this afternoon? And then someone, so that was very difficult. Today with internet, the good thing, the beauty of these kind of internet platforms is it's so easy to organize sharing, because you go to an app and then you so the information is gathered. So the combination, so internet eases the practice of sharing.
Seems to be very difficult to get back into the heads of Luxembourg, especially older people. I mean, the young people are probably a bit more open to this, but sharing a car, I think, is very difficult.
I'm starting to get old.
Okay, there are more questions, perhaps?
Well, if I stick to my interests, sharing concerning like sports equipment, there are already ideas in place to share sports equipment. If I'm looking at snowboards or surfboards, skis, those are also things which are used for most of the people 1 week at a year. So why not make apps in place or use the internet to make a snowboard sharing, surfboard sharing, or other sports equipments? But when it comes to sharing on producing facilities, there's one snowboard firm, Capita. They produced a zero energy facility in Austria, and they were opening it up to other snowboard firms so that they could produce their snowboards under the same circumstances on zero energy. That should be also, let's say, an idea to make firms, producers, open their facilities of production so that not everybody has to get up a big producing facility. When it comes to sharing houses, you said already this morning Airbnb, but sharing a house for me is more also like maintenance. If I'm looking 40, 50 years back, the same house where the parents were living in was shared with the kids, and also later on they were living there, the parents died, little kids came up. That's a little idea I took into my house. It is designed, first of all, to maintain, to be able to have two families living in, and maybe after that deconstruct.
Any more questions from the students?
So in a world where politics are more diverse in their opinions, the party in Germany, the Greens, are getting a lot of votes, especially now coming to the Bavaria election. But there's also like the rise of the far right parties like Marine Le Pen with the Front National, with the AfD in Germany. How can we, as students, as teachers, as people, can educate others about this problem? Because, like you see on our project, environment is our future. Environment is Europe's future. So it's not the future of one person, it's the future of us all. How can we educate others about circular economy and how to prevent like global warming? Because now we're heading into 3 to 4 degrees Celsius plus, and the goal is still 1.5. How can we do this?
I would say that education is a damn difficult thing. Ask teachers. I think it's much more about being an example and then getting friends to collectively create a critical mass and then to do projects. The problem, especially with this kind of, there's a lot of sociological studies. You have people who are really stubborn, and it's very difficult to get something to them. So if we wait to get them on board, it will take a long time. Well, what I'm more pleased to see is that with your energy, with your knowledge, that you will be, in a certain sense, the circle economy fighter. So you will understand how systemically that will be important, and then you go for it. And the best, I think, the if you don't buy a car and you share it and you talk about it, that's the best way, I think, to convince others. But we have educators here.
That's also my opinion. So you only can start, you can start yourself and with your friends to change your way of life and to live it really seriously. And then others around you will see and will also do it like that. It's easy to say politics or I don't know, the big firms, they have to change, or the government. Of course, they also have to do. But you can only start with yourself.
I would like to say something to that. You said that we should start with ourselves. The problem is, I would love to live zero waste, but in Germany, it's not really possible for me as a teenager to do that because, like, companies will not do that. And if I go to a supermarket and say, here's my jar and put that please inside, they will tell me to go.
That's not true. So it's not, you don't have the possibility to say black or white. It's right. It's really very, very difficult. I would think even impossible to say no waste. I will do no waste. But you can start. I have 3 children, and I see it every day, the phone. That's a good possibility to start. Why do you need every 2 years a new phone? I don't know if you all have the newest version. I don't know, but closest. Today, often it's not the quality, but to change every day. Today it's this one, tomorrow it's the other one. One thing I find it's really great with my 2 daughters, they change. So often they have friends and they buy something and they change one at another. But when you go at a supermarket here in Luxembourg, even it's like that, you have certain where you can go with your... glass or whatever, and you say, I want to have the cheese or the salami, put it in. They do it, others don't. But it's my choice to say, okay, then I go there and I don't go anymore in this supermarket. Or when you do your list, what you need, you can choose to go to the market instead to go somewhere where all is with packaging. So you have, or what you said with water. No, I make a lot trainings where we speak about what do you prefer, glass or plastic? And no, we always say, but you can drink the water. It's drinking water. The name says it's like that. And today, a lot of people even don't know that you can drink it. So you have possibilities. Don't say you don't have. You have, but perhaps not 100%, but you can start with this where you can do it. That's my...
It was spoken about packaging material. Packaging material is a big part of the waste, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Can we not introduce a simple rule that the material which is packaging something should not have a life expectancy longer than the content? Voila. We package food into something, plastic, which lasts for 100 years, and we use it one day. So it's totally crazy. Can we not have such a simple rule? That
good ideas.
I think that is the approach of cradle to cradle. I don't know how far you are aware of this. But in the cradle-to-cradle principle, you are talking on one side of about biological nutrients and about technical nutrients. So we are no longer talking about waste, only about nutrients. And the consumption products should be biodegradable or nature-based in a way, plant-based, so that they can, as Mr. Olli said now, taking out the vegetable if on the plastic falls, that they are degradation and there is no impact on environment. And that is a principle which should be pushed more to industry, to take all the industry manufacturer to go to this side. And the technical products as metals or maybe some polymers, they should stay in this cycle of technical products. And you should avoid to combine both, because if you are combining, for example, wood, which is a natural material, with some glue, which is a harmful product, then you can throw away the wood, which is a natural product. So we should really take care of that and go in the direction to separate both cycles and to take care what we are using as materials to go further in the production. And there, that's a challenge for the manufacturing industry. And I can tell you that's really huge, because I worked more than 20 years in the industry in Luxembourg in different companies. So, but that is the only way to do it. So, but that is also partly, I would say, a political decision. On the other side, it is also sometimes an addition what I'm going to buy and what I'm not going to buy in the supermarket. So I think there are several responsibilities. One time the customer has a responsibility, there is the legislation, the politicians who has a responsibility. And I may be regarding the resources, we have limited resources on this planet, that was mentioned already before, means also that some companies should think about how can I stay how can I stay in relation with my raw materials? So how can I have my hand on these raw materials and not to buy them, I don't know, in China and be dependent on political systems or on suppliers? And that is very important, in my opinion, to go on this direction.
Actually, I think we're producing a huge amount of waste in school. So I'd like to ask you, Mr. Kramer, what will you change in school, what do you want to change in school to produce less waste?
That's a good question. I think we have to do more, because for the moment in our school there's no real like awareness that we want, for instance, take the automats out, okay? Because it's at that point, for instance, where we produce a lot of waste already and where we have also influence, okay? That would already be one step. That's something, it's an interesting idea. We should really talk that with the students, because then they will not be able to buy Coke or maybe have different type of automats with less plastics. I think that would be a really good step. Also, what we will have very soon now in this school is that we're going to have more tap water, actually, and we have ordered, it will be coming in a few weeks because it always takes some time.
A container?
No, not a container. No. It's you can just put your glass under it, and you get tap water and
water fountain.
Yeah, a water fountain. Yes, a water fountain. Thank you. Not always easy in English. So we will have a water fountain soon, but that's a little step. It answers the question: glass or bottle. So then we produce already less waste there. But I think we really have a lot to do there. That's absolutely true.
I've seen this young person. No, yes, you. He wants to ask a question.
Just one moment. If it's another question, I just wanted to answer those two questions on waste. We are all the time talking about zero waste. I would say waste is not bad. It depends on how Mr. Toomer said, which waste do we allow to enter our circular economy and which waste do we really have to eliminate. Like, for example, ask yourself, do I really want to buy peeled bananas packed up into plastic? But I saw that. Sliced tomatoes packed up into plastic. I mean, that's a question. If we wouldn't buy this, producers wouldn't produce it. That's also one question you have to ask yourself. What do I consume? Or even trying to influence your parents.
Okay, so I wanted to go on about the phone. Actually, one of the problems I find is that electronics aren't made to like last long. They're made to, well, the companies make it so that it breaks down when you, when you believe it's quality, but still like in a short amount of time so that you buy a new product from them. And I don't think that's a good idea, because it destroys. You throw away more stuff than you shoot. Mm. And I don't know if it's possible, but can we like can we force them to make quality products?
We have already. Can I just say one small explanation I pass on to you? That the world was like that 100 years ago. It's called design to fail. It was invented in the United States by people who produced household machines and who have been so good that they saw their sales dropping because nobody needed a new one. And then they started to design them to fail, and their business took up again. They were selling again new machines. And that's the origin of that. It's the linear business making money on producing, using resources of the earth, producing something, sell it, and you get rid of the responsibility. And those two things have to be changed. Build again good machines, which are repairable, and do not pass on the responsibility. The ownership must remain in one hand, and then you can have more users of the equipment, and you can have more life cycles. And politics...
No, and I think we did. We introduced lately two laws at European level. One which is forcing manufacturers to keep spare parts longer, because you have two ways. if you just decide after 2-3 years. Not to produce any spare parts anymore, then you cannot repair them. And the other is the repairability by design, which means that when you design a product that you can And that's all the issue. The biggest lobby who is fighting circular economy is the composite companies lobby. So the, all the people who produce glues and so, because they live from gluing things together, which you can't repair anymore. So it's a big political fight. But I think the awareness that we should produce consumption, so white goods and kinds of electronics which have a longer lifetime, I think is improving. There is still an interesting project in Netherlands, in Amsterdam, which is called Smartphone, where it's an NGO which has produced a smartphone which has
Fairphone.
Fairphone, yeah, sorry. Not smartphone, yeah. All smartphones should be fair. So Fairphone, where you have then these kinds of... You can change the camera the day where there is a camera which is more performant, or you can change the battery and so on. So that's... But this, and this is the difficulty. Fairphone 1 and 2 were quite successful, but now they get into the trouble that the evolution of software is so rapid that it's not easy, especially when it comes to electronics. It's not easy to see how you can design products which have 10 or 15 years. But we have to push whole industry into that, and it's about so. And we have one law, one framework law in Europe, which we can use for that, and that's the so-called eco-design. So when a producer is producing a refrigerator for the European market, if it is a European one or a Chinese one, it has to comply today with the minimum energy efficiency. It has to comply with other standards. And so what we are doing now, and that is what will come out probably somewhere next year, is to broaden this existing legislation, which was a legislation which was designed for energy efficiency, to the idea of the circular economy. So, and that will be a very powerful instrument. I have African swine flu crisis, so I have to go to a meeting in Luxembourg, so in the city of Luxembourg. It's great to see you already at... I got the virus, the ecological virus, when I was 24. It's encouraging to see that the virus is getting more and more, in a certain sense, what is it, virulent, so, and that you get it earlier. So I can promise you, and that's, I would say, my last message. Being somebody who tries to move myself and then my friends is fun. When you fight for something where you are convinced about, you can, so it's really fun, and so always have in mind, life should also, and all you, when you fight for something, it should be fun. It should also have always a sense of humor that makes also moments where you have the impression that you have in a certain standstill, it makes it easier to overpass. So thanks a lot. Have fun.
Thanks
For having found the time to be with us here today, and we have a small gift.
We want to thank you for coming and giving us your time. So it was a really interesting discussion, and my friend Carmela from Luxembourg want to give you a present.
So you see, it's great to come to be invited to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Another question from Carmela.
I have a question to you who are thinking of moving towards a circular economy. I wanted to know if maybe you have given thought of the victims of circular economy, because if we start, for example, sharing cars, what about taxis? if we start sharing homes, what about hotels? Or maybe if the companies make products that are more durable, the companies made products that were ready to fail in the first place because their sales were dropping. So these companies will fail if their products are more durable and they don't have as many sales anymore. So have you given thought to that and what to do with all these people who will lose their jobs, their money?
First of all, yes, I thought about it, but I guess that is more a question to politicians and not to me as a project manager. But you are right. We will all this sharing economy, but also other discussion we had here. If the design is lasting longer, if we are producing for reuse, if you are producing for reparation, so that means we are producing less new products, and that has an impact for sure. And I think also that the politicians should think about that. And we have also digitalization. I had read the last two weeks a book from Nahari that is an Israeli historian, and he's also in the future researcher, and as he has also said that we will have a lot of changes in the future, and have the right question on that is not very easy. For example, should we have a tax on data? We should be aware that having data from all of us. I don't know how many people are on Facebook. I'm also on Facebook, so you can imagine how many data Facebook have from all of us. So that means, what are we going with these data? The company who has these data is very powerful. Should we not tax the data? Should we not tax this knowledge and so on? And coming back to your question, I have not an answer at this point, but it is right. We should think all about that. What are we doing with hotels? What are we doing with manufacturing, because that has an impact on it. But on the other side, we had in the past, in the human past, a lot of revolutions. The industrial, I don't know if you are aware, but if you can review history and you see the first revolution coming with the steam engine changed a lot. Before, we all lived in a small village. Everything was decided maybe by the teacher and the prayer or the church. And with the steam engine, with the railways, a lot of things changed. And today we are maybe at the same levels that we will have with the digitalization, with sharing economy, circular economy, a lot of changes. A lot of change will happen. But again, all these changes with the Industrial Revolution had a lot of positive things, also negative things. But I think human beings are able to review that and to redress the situation and coming back with the right solution, so that even in 100 or 200 years, our kids or grandkids will still live in a good world. Maybe that is more a philosophic statement. Okay, I don't know if somebody else would like to say something.
I agree. I would say a dynamic entrepreneur is able to adapt to what he's doing. You were talking about taxis. They have to buy cars anyway, so why not buy a car and share it directly, so they even spare the driver. In 2007, I was in Hawaii, and I was asked if I wanted to buy a share of an hotel. So in that case, you are buying shares of hotels instead of buying houses, and you share these shares. So being in this hotel will be able that you are in the same hotel, just on another place, so you share actually your room.
Other question?
So I have a rather personal question. What made you engage in this topic in your individual functions? So what led you to your engagement for the environment? Was it a specific event? Because like for me personally, I really started thinking about it when the diesel scandal happened and this whole debate came up. I thought a lot more about the environment and how I handle things, but also a bit more globally.
I can speak only for myself. I had an experience 2 years ago with Professor Braungart. This is a very known name. Might have talked about him. It's the founder of the Cradle to Cradle initiative and EPEA, which is basically a spin-off of Greenpeace many years ago. And that has marked me and gave me the idea to start searching into this direction of circular economy. And in those 2 years now, in our company, we have developed viable solutions to our customers, which are truly demountable structures, as I said before, which can have several life cycles. I mentioned the savings in carbon dioxide. We have, for example, on the steel side, we have up to 60% of material, so resources savings, over 3 life cycles.
For me, it's nature. From very small or young years on, I always was a very big fan of the nature, animals, nature, forests. I feel, for me, it's that gives me my positive spirit of thinking, of being, and the power to live. And that's what my grandfather showed me, and that's what I show to my children, and that's why I always wanted to work in this way. So it's my way to live from the beginning.
Well, from my side, I can only say that when I, at your age, I started, so that was in the mid-80s, to see what happens with our environment, and I was really sensible on that. And after my studies, I have a mechanical engineering degree, a master in Kaiserslautern. And as I mentioned before, I worked in several companies, international companies, and I worked very often also on the subject environment, health and safety. And I was in 1998 in Toronto for Husky, and we discussed already there about sustainability. And what is my purpose is always, I would like to go to the praxis, because theory is very nice, it's very fine, but we should apply it. And that is very difficult, I can tell you. Going to inside a company, pushing environmental things, it's not easy. There are some companies very open for it, others less open, and what I'm doing in Wils is the same. So the commune of Wils, they are trying to put practical examples in Wils. So we have several projects, and that is very exciting, sometimes very hard and not very easy, because you can then see what all these theoretical things we are thinking or visions we have on the practice is not very easy, because sometimes you have maybe some difficulties with some regulations. We can say, for example, circular economy, and some laws are not aligned sometimes. And that are things we are working on. We have in Wils a board where the Ministry of Economy is in, and the Ministry of Sustainability is in, and we can exchange our experience, and the purpose is then also to maybe change certain laws, certain regulations, and trying to find the best way for other communes and for Luxembourg and even over Luxembourg. So that's what I'm driven really by practical things. I would like to implement some things that you can touch later.
Well, for me, it was also a way I grew up. My mother always said, well, she complained, you're only home for lunch and sleep. And so I spent a lot of time outside in the woods or where else. So I had this feeling for nature since I was young. But trying to make something different was also in 2007, when I had no surfing session in Hawaii without being attacked by plastic in the water. So that's where I became much more aware of the problem of plastic and how we pollute our nature.
Any more questions from the students?
Well, I wanted to know when people are sharing their cars or their house, how are they going to make sure that it will be safe, especially in a big country, because it can be dangerous, or how can they make sure that it will be safe?
I know I can maybe tell you some things about that, because at, you know, we have here in Luxembourg the app, the new app from the Ministry of Sustainability. That is an app for covoiturage, for sharing. So, and on this app, for example, you can give your experience on it. So if you are sharing your car, or if you are doing a covoiturage with somebody, you can rate him. And you can also rate the driver. So that means with this rating system we have on the apps, you can then see if this person is trustful or not trustful, and is how with the rating of hotels and the rating of, I don't know, of devices, of articles you are buying in a shop. So you can also set ratings, and you are never sure at 100% that everything is well, but at least you had the tendency and seeing, okay, this person I can trust and this person I can not trust, and I don't know, but maybe they are also, but that I'm not sure, insurances you can have if you are doing this, so they are covering if you have damage. But for sure it's something you should have trust in people you are sharing your home or your car or I don't know what. That is for sure. I don't know if somebody else would like to answer.
Question down here, I think, yes.
With the topic of the waste at school, I have a question, because at Tuesday we were in the recycling center, and we were in the section where the toxic components are, which can't be burned, which are too toxic, so that they have to be stocked in special stocks. And I saw a container where was written pasta pipettes with unidentified content. And then I was very startled, because I thought of our school experiences. In the chemic lessons, we use pasta pipettes and we put them together after the lesson. We give it to the teacher, and the teacher probably gives them to the Superdrugskirche. So that means that the school produces toxic waste. Do you know how much that waste is? Can we do something against that waste?
As far as I know, in the chemical labs, we don't work with too toxic things, because it's the students that work with it, so that shouldn't be too toxic. And there is a system where the waste, so everything you experiment with, is being put in different type of jars, okay? And so there are things that they go then to the Superdreckskist and they separate it. So as far as I know, the really toxic waste we produce should be really, really small. And there are, for instance, certain experiments. When I was a teacher, we still did those experiments, but nowadays they are not allowed anymore, because they produce too much toxic substances that cannot be, nobody knew what to do with it. So there are also regulations that try to make that better. But normally in every chemical lab, they separate the toxic liquids or the substances that are left over, and then they come to the Superdreckskist.
Yes, that's true. And if you have in school a question, or the chemist has a question, we have a specialist from our labo who comes to your school, and he analyzes what type of a product you have, and how you can separate it and how you can stock it. And we have really unknown or undefined products that come to our sit at Colmar Berg, and there we have a labo, laboratoire, Yes, and there we analyze what it is, and so we can just make it in the right category. And normally we have to burn; it has to be burned in special installations. Not here in Luxembourg, we have not an incineration that can do that. But we work in Germany with specialized firms, and in Netherlands, so it will be burned there.
I just want to add something. We are a very old school, and so over the last 150 years, we accumulated a lot of strange things. And about 3 years ago, together with chemical teachers, we said, okay, this is not good. We have really substances that are really, really toxic and dangerous, and if something happens, it's not good. And so then we had specialists, that's why I thought of that, over from the Superdrecksgericht, and we got rid of all those very dangerous and not correct things anymore, because if it's too long in like also some plastic jars, then the plastic might break, and then you have all different types of problems. And actually we had, and it's good, I'm happy about it, that it's away, but we had to pay 16,000 euros to get rid of all those toxic materials. And so now we don't buy those things anymore. And also if some... Yes. Yeah, but so we should have less waste. And yeah.
The problem in schools is that we have very small quantities. So it's,
of course, it's all often it's a chemical is. You can use it, but the quantities to resell it or to find a new one, it's impossible. We have another example. We have solvents from firms in big quantities. You can recycle without a problem. But when we get small quantities from private, so 2 liters, 1 liter, half a liter, it's impossible to recycle it. So that's also a question of the quantities, yes.
There was a question down there. Yeah, you were waiting.
I have a question about this school building. So we were talking about sustainable buildings, and Mr. Knell, can you maybe describe how a sustainable building is built? And I have also a question to Mr. Kramer. Do you think it's possible for this school to be more sustainable, or will it be possible in the future to build more sustainable schools?
I think so. I really think we have to think more about how to reduce waste, how maybe also when we buy furnitures that we look also where we buy, and not... On also the leasing idea is also a very interesting idea also for like a little company like a school is, because we have machines to make the copies, okay, and those can also be leased. And I think we can do much better. But it's something also that cannot only be like decided top-bottom, because the example I just talked about with our automats where pupils can buy drinks, if we would just like get rid of them, I'm not sure that really would reduce waste. Because pupils would then just go to the gas station or buy drinks in plastic cans somewhere else. So we have to do both things. We have to have everybody on the same idea, so that everybody is aware of the problem and how can we solve the problem, and then do something together. Because if you have just one initiative from one person or from a board of directors, but people don't follow it, then nothing will happen. So we have to get the pupils and the teachers aware of the problem and see together how we can, in the first step, because this was said before, it's not everything is black and white. Maybe we cannot go from having like 5 automats to 0, but maybe we can reduce them and then have a plan for the next 5 or 10 years to change the habits, because you also cannot change the habits right away. Maybe the pupils that are now in the final classes, they will still go on, but we can maybe educate the smaller ones to use those things differently, and then in that way do something that's more sustainable as well, so it lasts longer.
If you are interested, in Luxembourg there are other schools who did a lot, just when you spoke about bottles in plastic, there are schools without a plastic bottle, and there are other schools who are on the way, who make who ask the younger people what they want. I have 2 schools where we work together to see what we can do. So if you want, just ask me. Perhaps we can see what we can do, make a nice project together. Everything is possible, if you want.
There's a question here from Carmela.
For me, sustainable building, there are 2 parts of it. One time the interior, that's what Mr. Kramer was talking about. You can change your furniture, etc. That might be possible over here, but a building old as this one, making it really sustainable is merely impossible. If you build a new house, then you have new materials like wood, etc., and you have to stick to one idea, what you really want to build. Just for my case, I have been often told, oh, that's a design that will never work, and at the end, even the interior order of the architects were trying to visit our house because it was a concept having no A+, but just a C, because we didn't want to have this mechanical aeration. But anyway, it works. So stick to one idea. Try to have your CO2 impact at the beginning as low as possible, and then look at the CO2 impact afterwards. That's also something which is really important.
Disagree a bit with you about sustainability of this building. Look at your building. I mean, it is in the third life. It is the third life cycle. It was not demolished. It was only renovated, so much lower carbon expenditure. The only thing which was maybe not done is this, what I mentioned already, the mix of things which have different life expectancy. We put water pipes in the soil. This soil has 50 or 100 years life expectancy. The water pipe has 20. So what do you do after 20 years when you have to replace it? Right? Can you access it? You cannot. So that is sustainable design. It should be accessible. And maybe in the next life cycle of the building, it will be done like that.
I think also the government changed already a lot of things in that area, because, for instance, our school in Mersch, that's going to be renovated, and there's one part of the building that 10 years ago they would have just demolished, okay, and built something new, because it's quicker, actually. Now what they are actually going to do, that is the building will stay, and they will just renovate it completely, which is actually more complicated and takes longer. But the reason... Yes, I hope so. But the thing is that if they would just destroy it, and it has been said before, and there would be a huge amount of waste, and that's not necessary, actually. So the ministry are already also taking these things in consideration.
No, we talked about the plastic bottles, the waste. I think that also the takeaway here in our school makes a lot of plastic waste. What can we do about that? Because we use plastic forks and all these, and yeah.
That's very, very good. And it has actually, like 1 week ago, there was another meeting where students already said that. And together with the committee of the pupils, we will contact Rastopolis, which is the company that does it, and try them to change it. Because it's true, there's a lot of plastic that is only can only be used one time. And those things should be forbidden, actually.
That's great, because I have another school in not far from here. They are just doing the same. They are speaking to Rastopolis, and we have to take the plot to take away. We have a solution. So I don't EcoBox. So if you are interested, well, et voilà.
I have a comment and a question on what Mr. Kama said earlier. Before the project, I did not know what circular economy was. And when I told my friend I was in my class, I was doing a project on circular economy, they had no idea what it was about. And I want to know how you think you can raise awareness to your students, because yes, we have the different colored trash cans and we have sheets telling us to put our plastic bottle in the right trash can, but many students don't really care because they don't know the danger it is. Teachers show us documentaries on it, but it's like so far away from us that we don't really it's not that we don't really care, but it feels so far away. There's nothing we can do, we feel like. And the entire circular economy project, how do you think you can teach that to all of your students?
Well, I have two answers to that. One answer is that I really think that after this project, I hope that we could maybe get a group of students that are active in that particular domain and keep going on talking about it, and also not just talking, but also having concrete actions behind it. And the second answer is that actually in the class of quatrième, in our economy lessons, together with the economy department, so we introduced economy at that class, at that year, and there is actually a chapter about circular economy. So from now on, all our students should, in quatrième, talk about circular economy in their economy classes. So I hope that already helps a little bit in that area. But it would be nice to have a group of students that work on that topic together with us.
There's another comment down there. No, next to you, on your left. Sorry.
So, to Mr. Oli, you were always saying, like, before you said you had the example of tomato packaging, why should we downgrade the lifespan of tomato packaging when we can reuse it, like, several times? Or for your steel pillars, for example, you said they are all the same. So why not reuse the packaging if, anyways, the product is the same, exactly the same? So why is it impossible to reuse the packaging of steel pillars, for example?
For the moment, packaging of steel, and I think we talk about large steel pieces, 10, 12, 15 meters long, heavy pieces, which on the truck are on wooden supports to be transported. Far away, in general, 200,000 kilometers. If you want to bring those pieces of wood back the 1,000 kilometers, it is five times more expensive than to buy five new pieces of wood here. That's the problem. So it must be a system where you regroup the products locally, and then when you have a volume, you bring it back. It exists. It's called Blue Pellets. I don't know exactly the company organizing that, but you can have such pellets which have this type of regrouping system. It exists. When you see some pellets which are blue, that's those which are brought back to the people who use them. That it's already existing, but not starting to develop such systems.
But you said that sending back the components to transport them, couldn't you just put yourselves together with other steel producers and, like, interact to use the same.
This must be organized on the Europe-wide level, huh? And these blue pellets people, they have done that. They have managed. when we talk about standard pieces of wood, there's too much, let's say they are not standardized. It works better if you have a standardized product, because then you find more of those everywhere. Can I say something more, other subject a little bit, which might be interesting for you to hear? Every day in the news you hear about the stock exchange, right? How the shares of companies go up and down and so on. So it means a lot of people and banks and investment companies, they put their money into companies who are producing things. In other words, they invest money and they want that these producing companies return to them a certain profit after 3-6 months at best, or maybe latest in a year. Now, when we talk about circular economy, and in the example of parking again, demountable parking, the biggest profit you do is when you go into the second life cycle. That will happen after maybe 20 or 30 years, when you will build the next generation of building with the same structural parts. Then you can reduce the selling, the buying price by like 40-50%, and that's a pure profit for you. The problem is that this profit occurs in 20 years. And to motivate an investor now to put his money and to get his profit in 20 years only, with a lot of question marks about what about technical evolution, will we need parking places in 20 years? Nobody knows. There are a lot of doubts and uncertainties. And that's why it is for the moment unbelievably difficult to convince investors to put money into circular economy projects. I mean, you know by yourself, what motivates you most to do something is your wallet, right? Do we agree? So, no, you don't agree with that? No, if your mother tells you if you have a good result in your work, you have some more money? Does that motivate you? No, okay. I'm surprised.
Well, basically...
A gentleman has a comment.
Can we speak as teachers?
Yeah.
Microphone? Yes, I was thinking... it's all about profits.
And of course.
But then I ask you a philosophical question. What's the goal of the economy? Why do we need economy? Is it to have jobs and all that, okay? But there's a group of people who have a lot of profit of that economy. If you look to the richest in the world, and you take the 5 or 10% richest people in the world, then there's something wrong with the economic system.
That's why we say circular economy has to change that. Of course. Today, somebody buys a parking house, he rents it out in 20 years, and by the way, the return on investment is 3 years on a parking. That means the money he put on the table, after 3 years, he has it back already. After that, he's making profit. And normally in the books, because there is also in parallel some accounting rules, it is written off over 20 years, and after 20 years, the value of this parking building is zero in the books, accounting-wise. Now, if the person who owns this building demolishes it and sells the steel, maybe, and the concrete, then this more or less zero result, because the demolishing has a cost and he can recuperate from the material. But that's only recycling. It's not true reusage. Now, if he does not demolish it, if he demounts it and sells the building as parts, for example, that is a profit for him, because this value he is recuperating at that moment, it is a full profit. And what the investors do not like at all, because this is a profit out of the books, and he has to pay full taxes on that, income taxes. The investors don't like to pay income taxes, as all of us know. So they try to get around that. And it's really a pity that Mr. Thomas is not here to say what politics will do about that. So we have to create a framework which favorizes circular economy so that this value in 20 years is not taxed, for example, and that it facilitates the reusage of material. Whereas today, everything in accounting, in politics, the stock exchange, everything is geared for the linear economy.
There's a question down here from you. Yeah.
I would just answer you, and I think you have put it on the table, the right question. Are the companies there to serve people, or are the people there to serve the companies? So what is the purpose of companies? And today we have more and more the feeling the companies are there for the shareholders and not for the for the people. And but I have no answer on that. But I think the question is very right. Unfortunately, Mr. Thomas is not there maybe to say what on a political way we can do, we can move that. But for me, that is one of the right questions. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Because otherwise they wouldn't make it.
Also, factories have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. They can choose to sell sliced tomatoes in plastic. Okay. And it's true, when customers don't buy it, they won't make it anymore. But they, in the beginning, they can think, do we want to sell sliced tomatoes and plastic? And when they think in an ethical way, they will say, no, we won't do that.
And what is now, and we on this subject, we should we are going now so what is very important to know is with all this I mentioned before, the data, the digitalization, Facebook, we should take care that some companies who have this data are not conditioning people to say, we need these tomatoes. You need this tomato, this sliced tomato in wrapped foil, plastic bag, to be happy in your life. So there's a big danger in that. That we are maybe more and more influenced by certain companies and certain people who would like to define what we need instead that we start to think what we really need. And that's the point. We are really there on the discussion also for circular economy. Yes. Yeah.
And another example for those kind of things. So the influence of social media on your lifestyle. In sports, for example, is the black roll. For those who don't know what the black roll is, it's just a hard form, round thing, which every sportsman should have. I mean, I'm ironical, because that's the way social media... No, I don't. That's the way social media sells it. It's 30 cents in the production, and you buy it for 30 euros. And there are already scientific proofs that these black rolls even provoke the contrary effect than it should have. But if I'm looking at my older basketball players that are trained in U12, U14, they don't do stretching anymore, they don't do prevention, build up muscles, but they come to practice with the black roll and their rubber bands.
Okay, this young man has been waiting for a very long time to ask his question.
So, basically, I have a question about companies and circular economy, because what he says about tomatoes, they make it because there's demand for it, and otherwise they wouldn't make it. And the same goes for companies only make things because they want to make money. And I know, that, like, for example, in the Netherlands, you have Philips. And they sell a lot of light bulbs. And, well, there was a big lobby. They wanted to sell more LED light bulbs. So what they did is they said, well, they are way better to just buy them. They had a campaign. And basically, in the supermarkets, you can only buy LED light bulbs from now on. But the thing is, you use light in the winter. And then you heat your house with electricity. So when you're using green energy to power your lights, you basically don't use any more energy. It's just they want to make money. And they use the image of being green to make more money. And also, there are companies who don't even want to use that image. They just don't care and just want to make money. So how would we go on in future? How would we, like, let the companies know that actually it is not only about making money, but also about, well, being responsible for what we do.
Yeah, excellent point what you say there, because one of the problems we have today in our state of mind is that we try to do less bad. You know, use less energy, produce less CO2, and so on. And what you said is 100% right. If we use energy and it's green energy, we should not feel bad about it. It's okay to use green energy as long as, of course, you know, photovoltaic panels also have a carbon footprint, yeah? And they are made of materials which are rare earth and so on. It's also a resource problem. But basically, I agree with you. People who sell these LED things and say it is circular, it's not, because you cannot reuse them when at end of life. They have to be recycled. Recycling is good, but it's not circular. Or not in the circular in terms of reusage.
You ask, what can we do about it? I think one thing you can do about it is being very, very critical. I mean, you said, and there I'm not convinced of your opinion, you said there must be a demand for sliced tomatoes in wrapped up in plastic. It's not. That's the big lie about social media. I mean, it's a fictive, it's an invented demand that makes you believe, oh, there's really a demand. So I'm buying it myself too. And that's the thing all about the economy. I mean, another thing is bio. So everything which is sold under the label bio. Last winter, I went up to the supermarket trying to buy potatoes. I was looking for local potatoes, so they weren't looking too good. So I went to the bio potatoes, and they were coming from Cyprus. So which one did I buy? So I bought the potatoes which weren't looking that good, but at least they were local. So being very critical and not believing every lie in the social media.
If you want to. No. So what I can, in my opinion, we have anyway three way to make pressure or to change something. This first is the customer. So the customer has, I will not say maybe always, but he has a certain choice. There is a German company named Chibo. They will start now, or they had already started with sharing clothes, kid clothes. And the marketing manager was asked why, and he told simply that it was the customer who wanted it, and not because they are green or they are circular economy. It was really a demand of the customer. So that is really one way. The second is the legislation. So we should make pressure on our politicians that they are pushing or they are putting in place some regulation to fix this. And the last point is that sometimes companies have also bad experience, so they have issues with resources, raw materials, and they will then also change. So if legislation, customers are changing, they should also change. So that are the three ways. But it will also be, for us as a customer, very difficult to make some choices, because sometimes you really not know what is better than is this product better than another one. But there the legislation should... politicians, they should, here in Europe, help us to do clear regulations so that you can see, for example, if that are biological products or if they products they are, from where they are coming from is a good example. So why should I buy, bananas coming from South Africa? I could maybe also buy bananas coming from north of Africa. Or why should I buy some vegetables coming from Brazil? Why not take someone from Belgium or even here from Luxembourg? There is, otherwise, that is also something we want to do in Wils. We would like to push local products. Local products is something where we can control where products are coming. We have also an ideas of urban farming. So urban farming is that on the roof of some buildings you can have a farm and you can have vegetables, you can eat fish or something like that. That is existing. I have recently heard about an engineering company who is working with us on another study in Wils, that in Brussels they have a huge roof was done in this way, so with vegetables, and this took 2-3 years to put this in place. So all this is making sense. And I know also that here in Luxembourg, from the ministry, sustainability ministry, they are pushing also on this idea to have urban farming, so that the town
as Wills or even in a school can have her own farm on the top of the roof, and they can take the vegetables and they can put it in the canteen to the meal. So that is a way to control what we are eating. So we know where it's coming from, and that's from things that we have lost. I can remember when I was a kid, my father has a garden. So well, today my wife is in a common garden in Luxembourg City. So, but it is for our kids much more difficult to see where the vegetables are coming from. So, and that is something maybe we could go back again.
There's a question down there.
Actually, I was asking it, Mr. Turmes, but now I'm asking you. You know the refund system of Germany, and what do you think of these systems? Like, what do you think of getting a refund? So first paying for 55 cent more for a bottle, but then getting these 55 cent back if you bring the bottles back.
It doesn't change the problem. It's a system to get back the material. But we have the same in Luxembourg. We don't have to pay 50 cents, but we have a bag to put it in. So you can find different systems to collect it or to get it back, but it doesn't really change anything. So I don't know. What do you want to hear? If it's a good system or a bad system, or if you want to yeah, I don't know.
I just want to say that you're pretty sure if you got a system like this, you're sure that you got more. You can get more plastic bottles back, and these bottles don't go in the wrong trash cans or so. I'm pretty sure it's like this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't change anything at the moment. I think it's you are the future. Your project is named Nature for Future. Is it like that?
No.
Environment is your future, but you are the future. Don't think about is 15 cent to get back when you bring your plastic bottle back. Is that the right way or not? No, you don't have to think like that. You have to think how we can change. How can we think different? We can think in this way because we are old, huh? But you are the future, so you have to look for new ways, for new ideas. You have to really to find a new way, a really new way. Don't go the old ways. I think it's really necessary.
But I think also in some places it's a positive thing, actually, because, for instance, if you go to a concert and you want to drink a beer or water, sorry, and then you pay 1 euro more and you don't just throw away your plastic little bin, but you give it back and they can wash it. So there's also, if the idea is to produce less waste, then I think it's very good. But with like plastic bottles, and there I think the main problem, like Mr. Thomas said, that there are too many different types of plastic. If there would be like just one type of plastic and you could really maybe even wash it and use it more often, then you would really reduce the amount of plastic bottles.
But the thing is, in this case, I know how to make waste, how to put my waste, in which can't put my waste, but other people maybe don't know, or other people don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And with this type of system, they really think about it. Yeah.
I think that the consumer is sometimes a bit stupid, okay? So if you can give him a reward, because that's what Mr. Oli also said, it's a lot about money, not just for companies, but also for the consumers. And so if a consumer gets a reward for not doing something, then he might change his habits quicker. And also, I think that is also something that should happen with the companies. They should get a certain kind of reward, and they should also be able to make money, even hopefully more money, if they use the resources more respectfully, or if they produce less waste, then they should maybe be less taxed. So there could also be taxes depending on how sustainable you are working, because I'm afraid it's we are too stupid. If it's not for the money, nobody will change. For instance, we the companies use like microplastics for shampoo because it's like it's a nice effect on the skin. And then 5 years later, everybody's saying, "Oh, I eat fish, so I eat every time a spoon of little of plastic, and I get sick." So this is just like stupid, and the companies are not responsible enough. So they should be rewarded if they don't do that, or they should be punished if they're wrong. And I'm afraid this is a lot about laws and politics who have to force companies of changing some things.
Interesting additional effect when we talk about politics and state policies and so on. If you imagine if things are reused, so secondhand, there's no usually value-added tax on that. Because it's secondhand, you don't buy it, if you think it to the end, and if we will only reuse things in the future, it means the income for the state of value-added tax will dramatically drop. That is a problem for the public budget.
That's a question from down here.
I still wanted to add something. That's like the problem of the diesel problem right now you were talking about later on. The diesel, that's like also a lie. Why a lie? Because everybody's now, they're taking now papers back. They should have been punished 20 years ago for something they did wrong. Nothing happened. Now, 20 years later, they are coming back up with the same papers, trying to convince us to sell our diesels and buying something else, like electric cars or something else. So there also you have to be very, very critical about not buying every lie and being critical with that.
So I wanted to say that our motto is like environment is our future, and I think that I'm not the only one who feels this way, but we talk about that it is our future, but the past was also the future of other people, and it is like we have to correct everything that the older generation did wrong, and it will always be like that. And my other point is that it was said that the customers have to do more, and I feel like there are a lot of labels, for example, H&M. Customers claim that plastic bags, they have too much plastic bags, and then they change, and now they sell their bags for like 15 cents, but I don't think that that's a big change. Like, if I wouldn't be aware about plastic bags, I would still buy a plastic bag for 15 cents, because what is 15 cents? Like, companies have to be more active, in my opinion, because people are ready for change, but there have to be more active companies who will practice that.
To this point, I want to say that we should find a solution how the companies can make profit, but also change. Like, I don't know, I don't have an idea, maybe someone has an idea, but it's not impossible, I think, to find a solution, like a way to that the companies can make profit with other products, but products which doesn't harm us, which doesn't harm our world.
I take this as a tip, and we just pass on the mic so that everybody can give, or everybody who wants can give their takeaway. Or what do you take away from this meeting? Do you have an additional remark to make so that we can come to a close? Okay.
Should I start from you?
You can start. You wanted to have the microphone?
Yes. I wanted to say that I agree with what the teacher said, like, and to connect that with what Blinera said. I don't think that we have to focus on the company that has to have a profit from what's happening. I think that the new generation has to focus on profit for the people and not for the company, because we see that it doesn't work like that. Like, the companies were focused on profit, and now we have like animals dying in the ocean and people getting sick because of plastic in their bodies. And I think that it is important that we focus more on other people, because if we are talking about plastic waste here, but we don't think about the people who really are being harmed from our plastic. Like, in a lot of other countries, people have to live where our plastic is landing in the end. And we have to focus on everybody and not only about how companies can profit.
Good. We pass on the mic to the next one who wants to add a last tip or a last remark from on this meeting.
So I don't think that humankind is very egoistic, and I don't think that we can change humankind. So in my opinion, we have to combine the ecological and the other aspect, and the aspect of the money, because without that, it will not work. Also, yeah.
We saw that communism failed.
So I wanted to react to you, because yes, it should be the way that companies care about the people and care about the planet, but they care about the wallet. So actually, I think that we should force, in a way, the companies to find a way to make money out of being green, and not only let it be an advertisement, but just let them make money out of emitting less CO2, or those things.
So I wanted to say that yes, mankind is kind of egotistic and egoistic. We need to fix alter some things the older generation have made. But I think the big takeaway is that we are not alone, and it's not a thing of we against them, like we young people against the older people. We have to work together. We have some great examples in front of us that show us how we can do it differently, and we need to think about it, that we are the next shares of the big companies. We are in the economy in the future. We have all the power as the majority, because I don't think that the majority wants an Earth that is slowly being destroyed. We are the majority, and we need to think about that in our future are many possibilities to change it. And here we have very, very inspiring figures in front of us. I want to thank you for your engagement in this kind of topic, in your individual tasks. And so we need to think that we have to work together, so we can create a future for more generations than just three or four.
Is there anybody behind you, perhaps? Anybody in those rows, perhaps, who want to add a comment? Yeah? Okay.
As a teacher, I talk also about that subject. When I see the title, environment is our future, environment is Europe's future, then I think we have to change the title. Environment is our future. Environment is the world's future. And not only Europe. We're talking here from about cradle to cradle in a very Western European perspective. But you have to think about the whole world. We live in a globalization world. And my English is not so good. But I'm not so optimistic, but I'm hopeful. Because when I talk to children from 14 years, everybody knows about of what is an ecological footprint now. In 2018, I don't have to explain it. Everybody knows what it is. 20 years ago, nobody knew. 20 years ago, there were no people who...
raised the alarm.
Their garbage...
trash.
Yes. Separated their garbage. Now everyone... There's no one who's thinking, oh, I don't separate my garbage. So that's very hopeful, I think. But I stay also with a problem. I think every the most economists I read, they talk about growth, growth, growth. But when I think to circular economy, and yeah, then I'm asking myself, yeah, how can it almost be growing, and when does it stop? Sometimes it has to stop. Because the sources we have, they are limited. And we are not alone. There are also future generations, what you say. In 100 years, in 200 years, there are other people who has to live here. And we have to think also about them. It's not only... And we have to think about... I've been in Burkina Faso for 2 years with some pupils, some students, and we saw there the big French international companies buy a whole village. People, they give them a little bit of money, and then the French multinational earns a lot of money, and 90% of that money is going to France, and 10% stays in Burkina Faso. Yeah, that's crazy. So, also European Union, it's a pity that the state minister is gone. But, for example, subsidies, is that the right English word? When you see to biological food and food of industrial made food, the subsidies for biological food are much, much lower per acre. And that's not normal. So that's a political choice. Politicians make choices. And that's very important when you go to elections. You have to read the programs, and then you have to make a choice. But you have to know what do you choose for. I'm sorry.
Spoken from the heart, Mark. Very good. You want to say something? Okay. It's too bad the politician left us, because he said something that triggered me. He was talking about regulations about solvents, and he said it was going to be a big political battle. I never understand. I understand, but if they all agree they should do something about solvents, they cannot do it because of all the lobbyists. Why do they have so much influence, the lobbyists? I know how it goes. If you make regulation, 10,000 people will lose their jobs. But that's so short-sighted, because the whole economy should change. Jobs come and go. Oh, we're not saying we shouldn't have computers because so many people will lose their jobs. No, people losing their jobs is a good thing, because when 10,000 people lose their jobs because computers take over, it means we get 10,000 people that can do something else. So I'm just... Well, it always makes me furious. The lobbyists, we didn't choose the lobbyists, we chose the politicians, but then they can do what we want them to do because of the lobbyists. So I think that should change.
So you as a teacher will be okay with that? You will be replaced by robots?
Yes, very much. Thank you. Also, at the beginning, someone asked, what should we do about populists? I recently attended a keynote, and there was a German doctor. He did a study, and his conclusion was, well, you should come up with good arguments and always go into debate. And so there's no magical solution, but just try to convince them with good arguments. So maybe you can do something with that. Jean-Marie?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Shall we pass the mic on?
I just wanted to say that it is nice that we are all talking about this right now, but we are such a minority. We are 25 students, and we cannot do that much as 25 students. So I think we need to raise awareness to a lot of people. And also, excuse me if I call you that, but all the people, there are only 5 of you right now. And that's also a minority because many politicians don't care. For example, we are talking about sharing houses, but there are politicians who won't share their country for refugees. Mm. They won't share their countries for people whose lives are in danger. But we are talking about sharing apartments and cars. And you're such a minority thinking ahead, thinking for us as the future generation, when many of you, many of other older people really just don't care.
But also youngers don't care.
I just wanted to react to that because she said had a bit of the same feeling that everybody is just too small and too powerless, and you said we are just like 25 youngsters here, but that's not true actually, because you all live in a family, you have parents, you have siblings, you are all in a class, in a group, in a club, in a sports club maybe, so you have access to many, many, many more people. So if you only take your families, there we are already talking about 100. If everybody takes their class room or the group of pupils in their class, then we are already a few hundreds and so on. So you and we all and everybody has to be like a multiplier, do you say that? Multiplicateur?
Yeah, snowball effect.
Like a snowball effect, and not just stay on their own, but try also to influence with good arguments, of course, people around, and not just talk about it, but also do something in reality. And then, now you are still young, that's true, but in 10 years, you will probably found a family, you will also start to work, and in 20 years, some of you here are probably CEOs of a big company, and then you have that power, and that's also what we try as a school and also to achieve. So if the young generation is really open to this, you will be the deciders in 20 years. So, and that's when actually other things are possible. But don't have the feeling that everybody is too small. You can only also, you have to choose for yourself and then live in a certain way and try to get as many people as you could to that.
Yeah, I actually agree to that. Never underestimate the snowball effect. When I started creating my T-shirts, just not to have to wear worn-out T-shirts after 2 months because they were already turning around, they were out of polyester, etc. I would have never imagined that there are friends of mine wanting to wear them too. They are my Forest T-shirt went to Kuala Lumpur. Well, it was a friend of mine, but it went to Kuala Lumpur because he wanted to have those shirts. There are friends of mine in Canada wanting those shirts because they know it's made out of sustainability materials, so organic cotton, hemp, or bamboo. So never underestimate the snowball effect. You never know how big this ball will become. And then also never be too pessimistic for your future. Even if others say it won't work, stick to your idea, do it. And if there are problems, I have a saying, if there's a problem, if something doesn't go right, so go left.
I would like to say two things. First of all, you should stay critical. And the second thing is stay optimistic. And I'm telling you why. From my experience, when I was beginning of the 80s, you maybe do not remember that we have an East Bloc and we have the West Bloc. So there was on one side the Russians and the Americans with missiles. Beginning of the 18s, there was a plan to install SS-20 missiles on the Russian side and Pershing 2 and cruise missiles on the American side. And we were really, as young people, we have the fear that there would be close to a third World War. And we went to the streets to demonstrate against all this. And what happened in 98 was nobody could believe, but the wall opened. And I was myself in Berlin in this week, so I saw all this. And I can tell you, even 2 days before in East Berlin, nobody talked about opening the wall. Nobody could imagine that. So sometimes things happening on the world, you even not think about it today. You cannot imagine that today some things will happen, something will change. So stay optimistic, because sometimes on this world we have changes we cannot believe that could happen, but that will happen. Because staying optimistic is the only thing we can have to move forward. And we cannot be pessimistic, even if sometimes the world around us seems to be pessimistic. And it was also for us in the beginning of the 18s with these missiles they installed on both sides of this iron wall in between Europe. And 10 years later, there was no wall in between Europe anymore.
So to come back to what Carmela and Mr. Kramer said, I mean, even if we are a minority, someone has to start, so just do it.
I think there is a study, when you have 10% of the people who change their minds, then you get the snowball effect. You only need 10% of the people to change things, not 50%. 10% is enough.
Okay, can we end this on this optimistic note?
Yes, please.
Thank you for everybody for attending this. It was a very productive discussion, I think, and I'm sure that everybody will take something home with them. And perhaps change a little bit something in their life.
So we have also a small gift for all our guests, no? To thank them for the time they spent with us this afternoon. So,
yes, it's my
what are you doing?
I recorded it.